This broadcast is general in nature and is provided for informational use only and should not be considered investment advice or an offer for a particular security. Views and opinions expressed are those of Richard Bassett and are subject to change based on market and other conditions. Consult an investment professional regarding your unique situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Keep in mind, investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Investment decisions should be based on an individual's own goals, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
If your retirement is just a few years away, it may be time to adjust your investing strategy.
The shocking statistic is that by the time somebody reaches 65, 95%, they're dead broke, they're dependent on family, or they're dependent on government.
It's important that people deal with someone to make sure to prove and provide lifetime income.
Welcome to the Financial Planning Hour, presented by J. Marshall Associates of Fall River, hosted by financial advisor Richard Bassett. Over the next hour, be prepared to hear ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. It's time to roll up our sleeves and get to it. Now, here's the host of the Financial Planning Hour, Richard Bassett.
And welcome into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. It is Monday, February 26th. We are live in studio today. If you've got a question, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, 508-673-1480. And for many of us, especially us with school-age children or those who work in schools, vacation's over. February school vacation came and went, and it's over. So now we're on to March, I guess. But it's interesting, you know, I was on vacation last week with my wife and child, my wonderful 15-plus-year-old, who can be a bit of a pain in the butt sometimes.
That's how they get at that age.
They do.
But I was.
You know, it was interesting going on vacation with him. And actually, we were out of the country for the first time together as a family. It was interesting to see, you know, sort of the amount of money you can spend very, very quickly in a very short period of time. And it kind of gave me a sense of retirement, what that would feel like. And I think, you know, it's a good jumping off point for today's discussion is ultimately, you know, there's really only two things I think clients look for when they're trying to, you know, decide whether to retire or not, or, you know, continue working or not, or, you know, open and fund their 401k or not. And really it's growth. You know, they want their accounts to grow. Obviously that's why we invest. We want to make money with our money. That's the old saying. But the other side of it, Dave, I think is that they want to take income. And oftentimes I think there's a huge disconnect between the growth side of my industry and the income side of my industry. And what I mean by that is, you know, we talk about the 4% rule, and I know before you tune me out because I talk about it all the time, the 4% rule really should be a jumping off point and understanding what it really is. And the 4% rule is really, after all, it's a withdrawal rate. And it's telling you that, you know, if you follow the 4% rule, you should most likely probably not run out of money.
I think that the 4% rule should be written on everyone's ceiling of their bedroom so they see it every day. You might want to explain it to them again.
Yeah, I think it's important. And, you know, ultimately with the 4% rule, you know, and Dave, thank you for saying that, but, you know, what the 4% rule really is it's a rule that was created in the early 90s from a financial advisor in California, William Bengen. And what he came out with was a question a lot of his clients were asking at the time is, how much is a safe withdrawal rate? How much can I take out of my stock market-based accounts and continue to have enough money to live the way I want to for the rest of my life? And what he assumed were, and again, assumptions can sometimes work in your favor, sometimes not. What he assumed was that you would retire sometime in your 60s and you would live potentially another 30 years. So we're talking from 65 to 95 years old. And of course, you know, the big issue is what if you're wrong? What if the 4% rule doesn't work for you? Because again, it assumes it'll work. It doesn't guarantee it will work. And that's where I think the difference is. You know, when you talk about guarantees like a Social Security check or like a pension check, those numbers, once you start collecting them, they're guaranteed. They're guaranteed by the federal government, the U.S. government. That's a whole other conversation we can have. Or they're guaranteed by the pension provider that your company is using to provide you with that pension check. But ultimately, those forms of income are guaranteed. And the 4% rule is not. It's a withdrawal rate. And, you know, you can increase it. You can go up 5, 6, 7%, and obviously you risk the chance of running out of money quicker. Or you can lower it, and you can lower it down to 2-3%. And of course, the goal there would be, you know, now my money will last longer. But remember, you know, let's step back a second and just think about the last 20 or 30 years investment wise. We have seen the dot-com bubble burst in the early 1999 to 2002, the stock market dropped about 50%, large caps. And then we saw it again in 2008 when the financial crisis came about. Market dropped over 40% during that time period. And then most recently, of course, in 2020, we saw the COVID scare, and ultimately the stock market dropped another 40+%. And that was in the course of about 2 weeks in the middle of March in 2020. So, you know, to say that the 4% rule is the end all be all, I think, is wrong, because ultimately the 4% rule assumes you're going to stay invested, you're not going to panic, and you're going to continue to take your 4% out no matter what. I know from my own point of view, Dave, if I was retired in 2008 or 2020 and the stock market dropped 40% in a short period of time, I'm probably going to slow down my withdrawal rate, if that's my plan.
At least that month, or just to see how it goes.
Right, because you're going to be scared. And the thing is that what I really don't like in the financial planning business that I'm in is that when we use these charts and graphs and color wheels, I like to call them, you know, you show the investment return over the last 40 years, but it doesn't really tell the full story, because what it doesn't tell you is that you had to stay invested the whole time. You had to stay invested the whole time. You know, I have clients that in 2022, they got beat up. Stock market was down in 2022. They lowered their risk. They maybe even pulled out of the market altogether after losing. And they missed out on the year of 2023, which actually turned out to be a pretty darn good year to be invested in the stock market. So I think that, you know, ultimately, going back to my clumsy analogy with vacation last week, is you've got to think about how you're going to want to live. You know, are you going to go out to eat every night in retirement? No, probably not. Are you going to stay home every night? No, probably not. There's going to be some mixing and matching, and you're going to have to find a way to make that work for you. And I think ultimately what we do in our office that I think sets us apart is we're not going to put you in one particular product. We might use 2, 3, 4 different buckets of money, and we'll divide them separately for different reasons, you know, and you might have, you know, we'll simplify for today's purposes on the radio, but you might have 2 buckets, one being focused on growth and liquidity, and the other being focused on income and safety. You know, because ultimately what you want is you want predictability in retirement, and you want to be able to have nice things, go on nice vacations, etc. But it can't be, you know, the end all be all is everything you're doing is just focused on that, because it's not going to work. You know, it's not going to work. So imagine if, you know, Dave here was saying to himself, every March 1st, I'm going to pull $25,000 out of the account and I'm going to spend it. And that works for a couple good years, and the market goes up a couple years in a row, so Dave doesn't even notice.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden that third year comes along and the stock market's down 40%, and then Dave says, hey, I want my 25 grand.
Like, where'd it go?
Right. And that's going to be really hard, because at that point, you're going to have less money in the market, and if you go to take a withdrawal in that down year, you've sort of sped up the race to zero, meaning that you're more likely to run out of money now, because you're not only taking a withdrawal, you're taking a withdrawal in a down market year. And that's where I think, you know, income planning becomes so important for what I do for my clients, is that focusing them away from the growth that we can't control. Let's face it, no one controls the stock market. I wish I did. All my clients would make 22% a year, I promise. But the reality is what we can control is how our income is going to be distributed, what products we're going to use to distribute that income, and ultimately how much of that income is going to come from guaranteed places where you don't have to worry about what's happening politically, economically around you. You know you're going to get those checks. You know, for anybody who knows me, my wife is a school teacher, and I love her dearly. And I also love her pension. I love it. I love it. And I'll say it again. Love it. And the reason I love it is because it provides guaranteed income to us as a family for the rest of our lives. When my wife retires, she is able to collect a pension. And if she And hopefully she will. I have to sign off on it so she doesn't have a choice.
Yeah.
If she takes the spousal continuation option, God forbid my wife were to pass away before me, I would continue to get a check for the rest of my life. So it's really neat. And, you know, you ask yourself, I've got $1 million in my 401k, Richard. Why does this matter to me? And the answer is, well, 4% of $1 million is only $40,000 a year. And that's assuming you follow the 4% rule. And again, we adjust that number for inflation. But ultimately, you know, taking $40,000 out a year from $1 million portfolio is, most people don't want to do that. They want to take more. They've got $1 million saved. They think they can take more, but the numbers say you can't. You can't. And that's why we use things in our business like single premium immediate annuities, deferred annuities, variable annuities. We use individual bonds, dividend paying stocks, you know, all these different components that you can kind of fashion together in a way that gives you much more predictable income than you would otherwise have. And that's why I think it's so important that you need to focus on the 4% rule as a jumping off point, Dave. But ultimately, you have to ask yourself, how much income are you going to need in retirement? And the answer is going to be quite a bit.
Well, when you were young, and I was young, you know, $1 million was obviously worth a lot more. But when we were young, $1 million was a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right now, things have changed.
It really has, and not for the best.
But you got to get out of that mindset. You got to realize it's not worth as much anymore.
Right, right. And then you have to think about how much income you can take from your portfolio, million, 2 million, 10 million, whatever the number is, and keep it sustainable, because that's the key to retirement, right? You want to be sustainable in retirement. You want to be able to bring in enough income to live the life that you want without having a lot of major, you know, cutbacks. I just had an email this morning from a client. They're getting ready to pay for college, kind of similar. They're in this really tough position where they're thinking about their own retirement.
Yeah.
But they've also got to think about their kids' college tuition coming up, and that's not cheap, and it's not getting cheaper. So, you know, they're asking, in their email, it was, you know, they're very to the point. It was like, you know, we've skipped going out to eat. We've tried to save money there. We're thinking about dropping some life insurance policies because we don't think we need all that insurance, you know, things like that, to try to save money anywhere they can. And they're under pressure right now, and it's really difficult. You know, I had another client conversation this morning, a lot this morning because I was away last week. Another client conversation today, and she's telling me that she's going to take out money from her 401k to help pay off her son's half of the college debt he's in. And I think that's noble. I think it's really, really noble that we want to provide to our children like that. But I guess my question would always be is, who's going to provide to you if you don't have enough in retirement?
I know a woman going through that right now. She paid for her son's college, and now she is not as financially stable as she really could be. And he has no intention or even realizes that she needs financial help.
Well, I've always said, and you know, it's something I drill into my son's head as much as I can, is if your child is smart enough to go to college, then I believe they should be smart enough to look at your family's finances and figure out what kind of college they can actually afford. And I think that as parents, we always want what's best. We want them to have more than we did, right? And that's awesome, and I love that. I'm a parent. I feel the same way. But at some point, we've got to be practical. You know, we've got to be practical. And I think that's really, as parents, sometimes it's hard. So, you know, when it comes to income, you've got to have as much as you need in retirement, and you've got to make sure of it. Because if not, the alternative is work forever, really. And it's not what you want to do, and it's not what most people can do, because ultimately they get older and, you know, the job becomes less entertaining, less
rewarding,
and ultimately you're just sick of it. You get up to a certain age. So anyway, we're going to take our first break, come back strong. But if you need help retirement planning, you're not sure where your income is going to come from in retirement, you're not sure how to use that 401k to your best benefit, give our office a call, 508-673-3300.
For baby boomers, here's something to think about. Will you have enough income during your retirement? Are you absolutely sure? Do you understand the difference between growth and income? How about bonds and bond funds? Are you 100% ready for RMDs? Do you have an estate plan? If you've said no to any of these, we can help. Right now, for the first 5 callers, we'll send you a free, custom-designed, animated video retirement kit to help you plan for the retirement you've worked so long and so hard for. These custom video kits are loaded with cutting-edge retirement technology, custom designed to your specific areas of need. There's nothing else like them. So call right now to receive your very own custom-designed animated video retirement kit. Call 855 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. Call now or visit us online at financialplanninghour.com. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Question for Richard. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back to the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in the studio by David Brown. We are live today. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, 508-673-1480. So today we've been talking about income planning a little bit, 4% rule, of course, being part of the story. And I think for many people, when they hear it the first time, they're overwhelmed by that number because I think in their minds the withdrawal rate is significantly higher than they think they can take. You know, what's happening now in the federal government is they've actually started to change the way they're trying to teach us about finances, I guess, in a nutshell. And they're trying to get us to understand exactly how much income we will have in retirement from our 401ks, IRAs, etc. And they're doing that by changing some of the way the statements look, where they're showing you now, you know, I see it on client statements all the time from the hospital, where they're showing you, hey, you've got a $300,000 account. That's great. Do you know what that would look like in a monthly income check to you? And then they show you that number. The thing is, what they're showing you is they're assuming something that they're not necessarily sure about. So,
yeah.
You know, when they use assumptions, they're assuming you're buying generally a single premium immediate annuity, and they're saying that you're going to take a lifetime income option from that contract, and this is what the number would look like if you did that. Now, I don't know anybody who is going to take their whole life savings and buy a single premium immediate annuity unless it's a nursing home situation, which is another topic for another show. But the reality is that, you know, most people are going to diversify their investments, as I was saying in the first segment, amongst different buckets and let those buckets work differently from each other, because that's the way they should work. So, you know, for example, in my own personal world, I contribute to my 401k. My wife contributes to her pension plan, as well as a small IRA account that she has. And ultimately, we also have a mutual fund account that we put money in, and then we have our bank account that we put money in as well. And each account is invested differently than the other because we don't want duplication and we don't need duplication. And, you know, for our ages right now, in our 40s, mid-40s, we're still in growth mode. So we're growth right now. But eventually there'll become a time where we're going to switch. We're going to make that transition, as I've talked about on the show previously, to income production, at least partially with our assets. And, you know, the reality is I'm looking forward to that stage, because I'm looking forward to being able to take some of the money from the market and say, okay, I've made money here over the last 20 or 30 years. Now it's time to protect some of it and get some type of guaranteed income plan started, so that when I retire, I can bring what my wife already has to the table, which is, for her pension's guaranteed income. So I need to be able to produce some of that. So we put a lot more money on my investment 401k side than we do on hers, because her pension is going to be a huge part of her retirement plan, already built into the way the teachers work in Massachusetts. So that's perfect. And now I've got to do my part, save more in the 401k, because I need to be able to generate that income that we're going to need in retirement. And ultimately, you know, a lot of people ask, how much income am I going to need? Well, it's a huge scale. Experts tell you 70 to 90% of your pre-retirement income is what they suggest. 70 to 90%. Now, some things will go away when you retire. You know, you won't pay into the pension. You won't pay into your 401k. So those bills go away, but other things take their place, like medical and health and all those things that are going to catch up to us as we age. You know, so that's the reality of retirement. It's not really a set number. It's not a set percentage. It's based on who you are and how you live and how you spend. You know, if you're someone who likes to go out to eat every night, you're probably going to need 100% of your income. I remember working with a firefighter a long time ago. He was hilarious. He was a single guy. And when I met him, I said, what's your largest expense? And he said, going out to eat. I'm single. I don't cook. I go out to eat every meal. And
wow.
he was serious, too. And, you know, as long as you're working, I guess it's somewhat sustainable. But the reality is in retirement, we're going to live off less. And our expenses are not going to go down to the point where we're going to be able to maintain these bad habits we've created as younger people. And it's hard. You know, my mother was one of those people. She grew up in a pretty nice area. She had a family with money and unfortunately no fault of her own. Eventually, a lot of that money went away, bad business dealings, decisions, etc. And my mother had to go from, you know, living pretty high in the hog to kind of living an everyday Joe Sixpack type life. And she was bitter about it because she knew the finer things. She knew what they were. She knew what it tasted like, how good it was. And ultimately, she couldn't sustain that lifestyle for her life. And you know, it was too bad because I think that makes people really angry and bitter, quite frankly, because we know what we missed out on.
It's hard reality. It really is.
Well, it is. And, you know, buying new cars every year and you know, or every other year. And those things change, you know, as we get older. Those things don't mean as much, or they shouldn't, I don't think. But for many of us, they do. And I think that's the hardest part of, you know, income planning in retirement is knowing how much income to need, you're going to need, understanding that year to year it's going to change depending on what's happening in that particular year in your life, and also knowing that you're going to have to make some hard decisions. You know, like I said in the first segment, if a bad year comes in the stock market, are you going to pay the same amount of money out? Or maybe you're going to slow that down. Well, if you slow it down, that's less you can do. But ultimately, maybe by slowing it down, you leave more money in the accounts come back from the losses quicker, or maybe not. Maybe you just kind of blindly and willfully close your eyes and walk by the cemetery, you know, whistling, and say to yourself, you know what, it's going to work. Everything's going to be fine. But I know from my 20 plus years of doing this, most people want very, very predictable outcomes in retirement. You know, I think the stock market gambler sort of goes away at some point and you start to focus more on guarantees. And, you know, ultimately there's a ton of different ways clients can get guaranteed income. Like I said earlier, whether it's using annuities or dividend paying stocks, you know, buying individual bonds, preferreds, you know, investing in real estate, you know, is another option. There's a lot of ways to get predictable guaranteed income. But it's funny, one of the big questions I get around here a lot is a lot of my clients own multifamily homes, and at some point they get fed up with it. They get fed up with the rent, they get fed up with the turnover, you know, renters have more rights than the owners. You know, we all hear it from our friends, right? But what I always make sure they understand is that if you're making $20,000, $25,000 a year in income from that rental property and that's profit, think about how much you're going to have to invest using the 4% rule to get that same $25,000 a year in income. You may not clear that when you sell the house, depending on what the mortgage looks like. So, you know, when it comes to income, there's lots of ways to do it, but you've got to make it a priority. And I think you should start doing that around, you know, 50, 55 years old. You should start really thinking about what the next chapter is going to look like. So we'll take our next break, come back strong. And again, if you need help retirement planning, you're not sure where your income will come in from retirement, give my office a call, 508-673-3300.
In a world filled with volatile markets and risky high-fee investment choices, you feel alone and confused.
Does the thought of planning for retirement remind you of a scary Hollywood movie trailer? Call now for a free, no-obligation retirement income kit packed full of easy-to-understand information designed to help you create and maintain steady, predictable retirement income that can never be lost in the market. Call today, 855-406-6218, or download it now, financialplanninghour.com. You've worked too long and too hard to allow your retirement to play out like a scary movie trailer. So call right now, 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. Today we're talking about income planning, retirement planning, and ultimately making that transition from growth to income. And, you know, there's no right way to do it, I think. I mean, I think ultimately you've got to do it what's comfortable to you. But, you know, as I've said for years, there are four key components to the ideal investment: growth, liquidity, income, and safety. And unfortunately, no one investment will cover all four of those. So I've done this exercise with clients for years, and you know, sometimes they'll challenge you and say, no, I think I can figure the investment that does all four. I'm like, okay, let's play the game. I'll write it on a box. We'll have the game. And you know, if you think about like money in the bank, CDs, savings, checking, that's safe. And it's liquid. That's great. But it doesn't grow a lot and it doesn't produce income. So then you look at the stock market and you say, okay, the stock market, it grows. Yes, it does. You bet. Or it loses. But it grows in our example. And it also is liquid, but it doesn't really produce a lot of income unless you go into dividend paying stocks, mutual funds, etc. And it's certainly not safe. The stock market is inherently not safe. So, you know, then you look at something like an annuity and you say, okay, an annuity provides income and safety, but it's not as liquid and it doesn't grow as much. That's also true. So, you know, the ideal investment combination really is something that I think you have to be, you know, diligent in finding and make sure your advisor isn't that stock market cheerleader type that only believes in the stock market and only think the stock market is the end all be all. Because, you know, if you remember cheerleaders from grade school or, you know, look at the Patriots season last year, the cheerleaders cheered no matter how the results were on the field. Yep. That's their job. They cheer and they tell you everything's going to be okay. But, you know, the reality is when we're retired, I think that perception changes, and now we're not able to stomach the ups and downs of the stock market, at least when it comes to your income. So that's why I think it's important to know that, you know, that transition should be made. Know that there are advisors out there that specialize in income planning like we do in the firm, and make sure that people understand that, you know, you don't have to abandon the stock market completely, but you should at least start to lower your exposure to it. Look for income producing investments that will contractually produce income for you, so you do not have to live and die with the ups and down movements of the stock market. It was very interesting. I think I might have mentioned this on a previous show, but I had a new client, only been in a client for a year. So 1 year later, we're doing our first annual review. And because of the stock market in 2023, they made money. And they started off telling me in our very first meeting, I never forgot this, that they said, you know, we want to travel in retirement. I said, okay, where? And they said, well, locally, New England, Cape Cod, you know, New Hampshire, things like that. I said, okay, perfect, perfect. That's affordable. And certainly based on your assets, we can do that. Well, now a year later, they're retired. You know where their first trip was going to be?
Taiwan.
Mexico. Well, not Taiwan. That's too much. But Mexico. And I said, wow, that's not New England.
No, it's not.
And they said, no, but you know, it's something we've always wanted to do. We've never gone out of the country. I said, well, that's awesome. Go for it. And
Can they afford it?
Yeah, you know why? Because the market did well.
Okay, good.
The market did well. They needed about $5,000 or so for the trip, and their accounts were up about $8,000 or $9,000, I think the numbers were. So they actually made money, took that money out, and they still hadn't touched their principal yet, which is great. But as I reminded them, you know, because they were like, oh, this is easy. This is great. You seem like you love the idea. I said, yeah, but next year I might not. Because next year the market might be down. And that's the thing is, you know, there's paper losses in the stock market. Cheerleaders love to tell you that, you know, don't worry, Dave, you only lost money on paper. Well, if I cashed it out today, I'd end up with less paper, wouldn't I?
Absolutely.
Yes, you would. But you know, in their case, I think their situation was so unique because one, they kind of changed their mind. They're gonna, and I know what's gonna happen now, they're gonna love Mexico. They're gonna love it. They're gonna love traveling, and they're gonna want to do more of it. And we may have to change investment gears in order to make sure they have that income they need, because you know, ultimately, just relying on the stock market for growth, it's not going to work. It's a failed strategy, and we know it's a failed strategy because we have hundreds and hundreds of years of history on the stock market that tells us there are periods of time when the stock market loses or actually stays flat for sometimes a couple, 3 years in a row. And if you go back to the 90s, they call it the lost decade, which basically means for 10 years, the stock market it went up, it went down, it went up and went down. But at the end, if you look at the beginning of the 10 years and the ending of the 10 years, there was no growth.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I think it's eye opening, and that's why, you know, I think a financial advisor who's worth their weight in gold is somebody who's going to educate you, explain to you that, you know, you've had your chance to make money in the stock market. Now it's time to start focusing on income planning, looking for those investments that are designed to produce income for you. You know, and right before I came over here, I had a guy who just did this, and literally he were calling about his first check, and he said, yeah, it's direct deposited. It's awesome. Here it is. It comes in, no matter what, no matter if I'm in Mexico traveling.
Always the same amount?
It's always the same amount. It's predictable. You could set your watch to it. And ultimately, I think that's what you're going to want in retirement, is you're going to want predictability. You're not going to want some hotshot advisor telling you they can outthink the market, because that's good when it works. But what happens when it doesn't? What happens when it doesn't? And believe it or not, when we get into volatile markets, that's where I get most of my new clients from, because they come from these stock market cheerleader firms, and they come in with the same message generally, as, you know, I was told I would make 8-10% a year, but this year I lost. And I will tell them right away, I'm like, you're not guaranteed to make money with me either. You have to understand that. The stock market components, we don't control. We put our faith in it. We don't control it. But ultimately, what we do talk about more for those clients is coming from other advisors is that, you know, let's focus on the income. Let's focus on, you know, what we can tell you, what we can guarantee in writing to you, that what your income checks will look like. And then we use the stock market for that liquidity and that growth potential. Because, you know, like I said earlier, there's paper losses. Well, then if you believe that, you also have to believe in paper gains. So my client who went to Mexico, great example. They took some of the money they made on paper out in order to spend it, turn it into memories, which is great. But imagine if they waited another year and the market was down 20%. They not only lost their gains, they also lost some of their initial principles. So there's really, it's a balancing act, and it's got to be done properly, correctly, because if not, you're going to have a really tough, eye-opening experience in retirement where you're going to one day have to ask yourself, what can I cut back on? Do I need to go back to work? Can I continue to make these Christmas gifts to the kids or grandkids? You know, these things that I've always done, said I would do. And ultimately, you know, I've had just today, again, being back from vacation, I had a lot of conversations today, but just today, I had two or three different conversations with clients about people digging into their retirement to help their kids, whether it's college, whether it's a wedding plan, whatever the case may be. But ultimately, that's a huge sacrifice, huge. And I think that we're so willing to do that because we want to help our kids. I get it. I have one too. I want to help him out as much as I can. But I'm always cautious to tell my clients, I would not rob from my retirement account to help somebody out of a college or a wedding debt. And the reason I wouldn't do it is because it's not just the money you take out. It's what that money will make you compounded over 10, 20 more years while you're still working. And that adds up really, really quickly. And, you know, if you take out $50,000 out of a $400,000 account, you think, oh, I still got $350,000. You do. But what you don't have is that $50,000 earning 8-10% interest per year, most years, compounding, growing, getting bigger, bigger, and bigger, and ultimately, you know, doubling and tripling the size of your account because of that. I don't know if we ever talked about it. I'm sure we have. I talk a lot on the show. But the rule of 72.
This I'm less familiar with.
Yeah, the rule of 72 says that if you put your money into, you know, the stock market and you earn 10% a year, your money will double in 7.2 years.
Uh-huh.
And it's multiplication, so it works both ways. So if I make 7.2% a year, it'll double in 10 years. So that's the rule of 72, right? So if you think about it, if I'm taking $50,000 out of a 401k, as I'm using as an example, to pay for a wedding or a college, what have you, you're ultimately, you know, if you earn that 7.2% a year, which history averages says we should, then you're not taking $50,000 out. You're actually taking $100,000 out over 10 years or 7 years, depending on what the rate is. And if you're younger and you have 20 years to go, you're taking $200,000 out by taking that 50 grand out for that wedding. And again, respectfully, I love my child, but I will not go broke for his benefit. I just won't do it. And I think as parents, we are put under pressure, social media especially pressure, to, you know, hey, let's keep up with the Joneses. And no, your kid's going to this school. Well, my kid's going to a better school. And your kid wears these clothes. Well, my kid's going to have better clothes. And ultimately, that stuff doesn't really make us happy, I don't think, as we get older. And, you know, it was funny. My wife last week said she doesn't want anything. I should have recorded it, but she says she doesn't want any more expensive stuff. She just wants to go on more trips. That was the trip. She loved it. She loved traveling with the family. We've never really done something like that before, and now that's all she wants to talk about. I love that. But, you know, truth be told, we'll see what happens when it comes Christmas time and she gives me her Christmas lift. Will it say, you know, I don't want anything because I want to go on another trip? Or will it say, no, I want presents under the tree? And I think, you know, knowing my wife, I don't know what it's going to be, honestly. I don't. But I think it's I think it's hard for us as humans to not have that desire to show people our success. And I think that's fine. It's okay to be proud and be successful. But I think that the true definition of success changes as we get older. You know, I'm 47 now, and I can promise you, when I was 27, my definition of success was very different than today. I don't need the best suits. I don't need the best shoes. What I do need is a nice, sizable 401k balance so that when I decide to retire, if I ever do, I have the ability to at least maintain somewhat of the lifestyle that I've grown accustomed to. And I think as investors, we've got to realize that the stock market cheerleaders of the world, they don't really want you to ever take your money out because, let's face it, they're fee-based planners. And the less you have working, the less fees they get. So they want you to keep your money in the market. And a lot of them, you know, will encourage you and tell you everything's going to be fine when the answer is they're just as nervous as you are.
Well, the fee-based planner is at one end of the spectrum. What do you call the person at the other end of the spectrum?
Well, you know, we're fiduciaries, so the way I explain it to, and some of the commercials I hear on the radio and TV are just out of this world, honestly, with some of the misinformation in there. Fiduciaries get paid either a fee or a commission, Dave.
Yeah.
The thing that I try to explain to clients is that fees come from clients and commissions come from companies.
Got it.
So one way or the other, your advisor's going to get paid, you know, whether they're getting paid directly from your pocket or whether they're getting paid by a company that they're, you know, introducing you to, they're going to get paid. And I think that you've got to understand that, you know, your financial advisor, when the stock market loses, they lose too. They lose too. And there is no perfect investment. There is no ideal investment, which is why, as I said in the last segment, you've got to use different investments. And what I see a lot is a client will come in with four different mutual funds and maybe from four different companies. They'll have Fidelity and MFS and T. Rowe Price and Franklin Templeton, let's say. And I'm like, wow, you've got four different mutual fund companies. I'm like, yeah, that's great. I'm diversified. I'm like,
they're all mutual funds.
They're
still
the same. They're the same, right? And then you look and you start to break it down even further and you're like, wow, you know what's weird is this fund's a growth fund. The other one's a growth fund. The other one's a growth fund. And the last one's a growth fund. And they're like, so what's that mean? It's like, well, you own all the same stuff. You own the Teslas and the Apples and the IBMs, et cetera. And ultimately what happens is because you've now kind of, you know, in our example, quadrupled up, when you lose everywhere.
Yeah.
Instead of diversifying and saying, you know what, I'm going to keep some money in the bank. Its CD rates right now are really good. I'm going to buy a fixed annuity with this money I don't need for the next 5 years. I'm going to keep some in the stock market for that growth potential. And I'm going to think about, you know, where am I going to get my income from in retirement? As opposed to just saying, I'm going to outpace the market. I'm going to take my income from growth because, you know, total return is the G plus the I, growth plus income. And you can't really get your income from growth and you can't really get your growth from income. It's not going to work that way. So that's why, you know, you've got to find investments that are truly diversified, not investments that, you know, sort of mimic each other and all act the same. We're going to take our last break, come back strong. But again, if you need help retiring, you're not sure how to retire, how to, you know, unwind your 401k at work, you can give my office a call, 508-673-3300.
Investing in the stock market these days is like riding a roller coaster. Leaving a place of safety, get on the coaster, hear the clickety-clack as you experience anticipation climbing to the top of the hill, followed by sheer panic as you plummet back to the earth, hoping you stay on track. You might be brave enough to repeat the process several times, going up and down, but never achieving higher highs and accomplishing nothing but anticipation followed by fear. The stock market has been doing this same ride of volatility with no real growth. Proper education, though, can help you find a better way to grow your money during these times.
So, how's this latest stock market roller coaster treating you? It's time to get off and call Richard Bassett right now at 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. 508-673-1480.
508-673-1480.
You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. Today we're talking about income planning, and I found an interesting piece put out by the Department of Labor. I think I had referenced this a couple of years ago. It's a 2021 piece the Department of Labor puts out, and they called it the Top 10 Ways to Prepare for Retirement. A couple of interesting facts at the beginning. One, that in 2020, just a few years ago, more than a quarter, over 25% of private industry workers with access to a 401k or similar defined contribution plan did not participate. Over 25% of people who are offered a retirement plan of work don't participate.
Why?
I don't know.
That doesn't make sense.
I would
say participate 100%.
I would say lack of financial education is what I would say, Dave. And I think that's scary because, you know, if you think about that, that's a quarter of us who aren't putting money away for our future. How can you have a future if you don't plan to have a future? You've got to plan to have a future. So I think that was sort of strange. But anyway, in the top 10 ways to prepare for retirement that the Department of Labor says, first thing they want you to do is start saving, keep saving, and stick to your goals. I love it. Start saving, keep saving. Do not let life's inconveniences affect you. Having, you know, a wedding and children and college debt. Yes, I know it's hard to do everything. It's juggling many, many balls at once. I understand that. But at the same time, if you take a year or two off retirement funding, you will regret it because those years you will never get back. The second thing they recommend is know your retirement needs. They tell you again, 70-90% of your pre-retirement income is what you're going to need. So make sure you're aware of that and understand, I would add, where your income is actually going to come from. Number three, they want you to contribute to your employer's retirement savings plan. Secret is, the more you put in, the more you'll get back later on. I say that all the time to new clients. The more you save, the more income you will have later on. The fourth thing, learn about your employer's pension plan. I had a client conversation today, actually going back to the wedding conversation, and they were saying, you know, I'm going to move my old 401k to my new 401k. And I said, whoa, 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 before you do that, you better check with your plan documents. And they said, what do you mean? I said, every 401k has its own plan documents, whether you're allowed loans, whether you are not allowed loans, you know, hardship withdrawals, et cetera. You need to make sure you know exactly what you're entering into before you do that.
You mean a loan from your 401k?
You can take a loan from your 401k and generally, you know, you have to pay back some interest, but you can avoid the penalty if you're under age 55 or under 59 and a half, and you're better off doing it that way than another way. The fifth thing the Department of Labor suggests you do is consider basic investment principles. And what they're talking about there is interest, compound interest, and of course, inflation, you know, taking a bigger bite out of your income checks once you get to retirement. Number six, the Department of Labor says, don't touch your retirement savings. Well, sounds like what I said. Don't touch your retirement savings. They don't tell you to touch it for weddings and bar mitzvahs and all that. They say, don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Simple as that.
It's like a hot stove. Don't touch it. You know, I remember when my son was little, he was at that age where I'd say, that's hot. Don't touch it. The first thing he would do is he'd go to reach for it because he wanted to know how hot it was. Hot enough to melt your skin is what I would tell him. Hot enough. Okay. Don't touch your retirement savings because in the end, you're going to regret that. Most of us are going to grow old. We're going to reach retirement age. And when we do, the mistakes we made along the way, will be compounded and magnified because that's when they're going to really feel the effects. You know, I tell people this all the time in my office. When you're young and broke, it's cute. When you're old and broke, it's sad. You don't want to be sad in retirement. Number seven, Department of Labor suggests, if your employer does not have a plan, ask them to start a plan. I have conversations with employers all the time about the benefits they get by starting a retirement plan. Worker retention, more loyalty at work to the employer, and also happier employees are generally more productive employees. You know, if you're worried everywhere where your next check's going to come from, chances are you're probably not going to be the best employee you could be. Number eight, the Department of Labor suggests you put money into an individual retirement account, IRAs, Roth IRAs. You know, you can have an IRA, you can have a Roth IRA, you can have a 401k and an IRA and a Roth IRA, you can have all sorts of things. You're not limited to just one. So, you know, and what I do in my own investment world is I try to put my 401k max in as soon as possible every year. So every year I up my contribution amount. Even though I'm maxing out, I'm trying to max out sooner in the year so I get that money back for me for the rest of the year. As long as I paid myself first, I feel comfortable with that. The ninth thing Department of Labor suggests you do is find out about your Social Security benefits. Remember, we've talked about that on the show. At most, Social Security will provide you 40% of your pre-retirement income. At most, 40%. So those people who aren't putting into their 401ks, I don't know where their other income is going to come from, but it's not going to be from me. I can promise you that. And the 10th thing the Department of Labor asks you to do is ask questions, read, listen. You know, what you're doing now, listening to the Financial Planning Hour, that's a help. Come into the office, have a consultation, ask questions, get educated. The more educated you are, the better you will be prepared for retirement. And I think that's just the way to wrap it up is, you know, education is something that most financial advisors should and I think willingly will give you. And I think you should have the ability to ask those questions. And if you need help, you can always call my office at 508-673-3300. I'd love to sit down with you and, you know, kind of explain to financial planning principles in great detail, create a plan for you, make sure that you are going to be taken care of not only now, but also through retirement. So again, 508-673-3300 is the office number. You can find us on Facebook. Our website is jmarshallassociates.com. With that said, Dave, what's going on in the real estate world?
Well, I'm David Brown, realtor with High Point Properties. And yeah, I'm working for you guys 24/7. CMAs are always free. And you know, Richard, we talk a lot about timing the market. Well, there's a real estate market out there, too. And, you know, that's kind of tough to time. But, you know, the interest rates did go up last week, which, you know, put the brakes on for some potential home buyers. The rate rose to 6.77%. And last time we checked last week, it was at 6.64%. And, you know, is that a lot? Not really. But when you think about it, last fall, the rates were around 8%.
Wow.
So they're not even close to what they were, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, back in September, August, October. So, you know, it's still good. It's still a good time to buy a house. I mean, you got to think about it. There's a lot of reasons besides just mortgage rates to guide you in your house purchasing. I mean, there's all kinds of factors in life. For example, what if you get married? Married people don't want to live with their parents' house, right? They want their own house. So, you know, you might have to buy a house no matter the interest rate. Mm-hmm. You might have to buy. What if you have a baby? I mean, where's the baby going to sleep? In the kitchen? No, you've got to buy a house with another bedroom, or a divorce. Another reason you might have to buy a house. Or a changing of a job. You might move somewhere where you have to buy a house. So there's all kinds of reasons to buy a house besides just the mortgage rate. And, you know, even if you are watching the mortgage rate, there's other things. The prices of houses are going up. So even if the rates go down, the prices of houses are predicted to go up by 1.4% this year. And that's from the National Association of Realtors, and even more in 2025. So if you want to know more about these things, call me, David Brown, Realtor, High Point Properties, 508-277-3297. Thanks.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.